for the fans, by the fans. This is the Non-League Football Show live, sort of recorded, sort of here in spirit from Wealdstone FC tonight. I'm Caroline Barker, back at the helm of all good things ship Non-League. And of course, we couldn't sail the seas. Tim Fuel actually wrote this, so I just kind of feel like I've got to do justice and read it. But he's not here. I think he might actually be on a yacht somewhere, given his the sizable amount of money he makes from the Non-League show.
Absolutely.
Joining me tonight, two of Non-League's saltiest sea dogs. Again, he's written this. Former manager at Chertsey Town and many more besides. FA Vars winner, which actually this week is the only week it's relevant to say that because we're going to be talking about the FA Vars. Dave Anderson.
Good evening.
Also commemorative beer mug holder here at Wealdstone, but more on that in a moment because our esteemed guest tonight is... He's put current manager at Wealdstone. That sounds like he's about to walk out. Again, I'm blaming Tim. National League South leaders, Wealdstone, Dean Brennan.
Hi, Caroline. How's it going?
Now, please tell me, Dean, I know there's more important things like football to talk about. What state was Dave Anderson in on Saturday night as we record this? Was it Saturday? I can't even
know. I don't need to know.
He can't even remember what night it was.
He raided the star fridge.
Oh, it was good fun. Listen, I don't care how this show is, and hopefully it's good. It ain't going to be as good as the last time I ever was in here. It was good Saturday night, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was great. I haven't seen Dave for a while, so it was great to see him. And
did you see much of him then?
Yeah, he told some great stories, as always.
It was good. It was good. And the team played well. I watched the game. Watched the game. Good match, you know. Good. I haven't seen the level for
what
a while.
What was the score?
It was 3-1 to Wealdstone. Stop with all the tricky questions, by the way.
I don't know what point into the 42% beer he was during the game.
No, I was fine. I was absolutely fine. And I sat and watched the last sort of 20 minutes with Howard Cross, who was the game, sort of chat with him. So it was a real
former
good
chairman
day.
Here at Wealdstone.
Former chairman and had a good chat about stuff. So it was really good. Came in, was treated like a king. Which not every horror borough manager gets treated like in this place, but I did. And
The heavy boots in the background, T has just walked in.
Yeah, Big T.
Dave says, have you met Big T? And I said, he's got a T on his top, so I'm taking that. And the big, I'm just going to leave you to argue.
Listen, he wasn't serving tea on Saturday night, let me tell you.
No.
But anyway.
It's not about us, it's about you, Dean.
It's about Dino.
Brennan, current manager at Wealdstone FC. We have got coming up as well, I should just point out, we've got a couple of chairmen, which normally turns Dave off, but one of these chairmen you know very well. We're going to discuss the awful, awful situation at Bury and what's happened this week. You might think that's not relevant to non-league. It's completely relevant to non-league, there's a few reasons why about that. We will talk FA Vars as well, and we'll get a roundup of all things across non-league football with Dave Richardson from the non-league paper. But Dean, we are here in your manner, in your gaffer. Let's explain a bit about the setting around us. So we've come in through a door just up the tunnel, and this is the manager's office, right? It's also the security office by the looks of it, too, as is tradition with non-league football. So this is where the magic happens.
We've got everything here. The kit room's in the back. The tactics boards are here. The fridges are here. The physio equipment here. The television's here. This is a real, real good football, non-league football club, to be honest with you. And the people here are fantastic. Been excellent with myself and Stuart since we've joined.
And when you say people, you mean the people, the board, and the people who employ you.
I mean everybody at the football club, people,
and fans.
The reputation.
Why I want to talk to you about
all
it.
All they are is passionate, and that's what I've found. If you're honest with them and you give them an honest football team, I think they'll get right behind that. And I think we've done that. We give them a young, honest football team, and they've just been so welcoming to us, which has been excellent. But I think we've spoke straight. And we've said what we'll do. We've done so far. And we found ourselves in a fantastic position after 7 games or so. So I think they're happy and we're definitely happy.
Can I say the last time I was in a manager's office with you, Dean Brennan, was a very different office. It was at Billericay. Most people will be familiar with Billericay, particularly Billericay. It's my Essex coming out. If you are a listener of this show or if you watch any kind of media, it was Billericay that were front and centre. We were there at the club. It was an FA Cup game in your office. You know, the mural was around it. This is a very different feel as a football club to Billericay. I'm not saying it's a negative thing or not. I don't know if you even want to talk about what happened at Billericay, do you?
Yeah, don't bother me, yeah.
All right. So why did you leave Billericay, for those that aren't up to date with the Dean Brennan life story?
I was sacked. As simple as that. I was sacked. I haven't heard from Glenn for for ages.
Glenn Tamplin, the owner.
I was sacked, simple as that. I was brought, we played on a Tuesday night in a County Cup game against Southend. We won 6-2. I was pulled in the next day and told that you're relieved of your duties. We'll give you a week's wages, and that's all you get. Give your car back. That was it. I was gone. So my 2.5 years left of my contract. That needs to be resolved. No one's contacted me from the football club whatsoever. They've ignored all my solicitor letters and stuff like that. So this is the other part of the game that people don't see. So I was out of work for a certain amount of time after that.
How did that financially affect you? Because you'd sunk everything to go into that club.
Yeah, they wanted to go full-time. If I'm being honest, the 4 6 weeks were great. If I go back, the 4 6 weeks were great. There was no problems whatsoever. But after that, I felt like I was more the chairman than the manager. Dealing with situations with players' salaries and stuff like that. So that's what happened at the football club. And some good people there, a lot of people there for the wrong reasons. You know, and I actually think Glenn deep down is a good guy. I've said this on numerous occasions. I think deep down he just got some of the wrong people around him, in my personal opinion. But my opinion don't matter over there.
Modesty us.
Well, no, it does. And why I'm being careful is you say you haven't got the money that you're owed. Are you going to legally...
Yeah.
All right. So we won't talk any more about that. Clearly, at the moment, he's not here to defend himself. You're saying that money hasn't been forthcoming. You're saying you're going to fight and challenge to get that money. So coming in here then, coming into Wealdstone, do you get a bit burnt about what's happened previously?
Kingston after that.
Yes. You're quite right. Kingstonian.
Yeah. I know you've been flying up with a big guy.
It has Kingstonian after. But again, that was short-lived.
Yes.
By both those, what's happened with both those clubs, have you felt a bit burnt? Next time you walk into a club, are you wondering about relationships with owners, with chairman, and does that then frame which job you take?
No, not really. The Kingstonian situation was simple. My son got run over. Everyone knows that we did on this show, you know, so I just couldn't commit to the time. I felt I couldn't take their money off them. That's not fair on them. You know, I think I'm an honest person. I want to walk in an honest manner. When I come for this job here, Rory Fitzgerald, the chairman, they did a real, real, you know what I mean? There was a real going over of each manager. I know a lot of managers went for the job. I think it was 54. So I think we got it on merit in the end.
But that's as important as a manager to have that. I know you're sitting there in a job interview, but aren't you interviewing them too? Because you want to know that you're walking into a stable club and that you're not going to get the old tin tack.
Yeah, I think when they explained what was going on and we were given our sort of financials and stuff like that and what they wanted as a football club, they wanted a local team, players recruited from the local area. Stuart and myself know this area very well. Obviously, we managed the Hemel for 6.5 years, so we know it well. And they wanted that, so we fitted the bill on that situation. And then I think our personalities, we got on really well with the chairman straight away and the board members. I know they'd gone from spending quite a lot of money over the last 2.5 years. To what we're spending now, but it didn't bother me. It's not about money. Football is about recruitment, and if you get the recruitment right and you create the right atmosphere, you have success. And I think Alan Devonshire showed you that. You had one football club spending in this division 2.7 million reportedly, and then you have Alan Devonshire spending nowhere near that, and he wins the division. He gets 98 points and wins it. So,
can I just 2.7 million? I'd heard that too. Step two in non-league football, and you wonder why clubs go pop.
It's unbelievable. It's an unbelievable amount of money, you know. But I think I think with Dean's situation, you know, two quick clubs, and then I always felt this was a big, this next job had to be right. Yeah. I spoke privately to Dean about it.
I consulted you on this one, didn't I?
Dan? Yeah, you spoke to me about this one, yeah. But no, in all seriousness, I just felt he fitted them, they fitted him.
Yeah.
For where Dean and Stu were and what had happened to them, Billericay circus act, I've spoke about it before many times, Kingston, Dean's sort of personal situation and was honest enough to hold his hands up.
Yeah.
This one had to be right. And I think a little bit the same, Wilson had Gordon for 20 years, Bobby for not so long. I think they needed to get the decision right as well. And they both fit. They both fit. It's like a glove. I came Saturday, they've only played 5 or 6 games, but there's a bond already. I give them some stick about the fans. The fans have actually been all right to me here, but they are renowned for getting in your face. Not so much the opposing manager, but the actual manager. But Dean took that on board, didn't see anger, seen passion straight away. That's just changes the ballgame. So I think it's a real good fit. I would say that you've now raised the bar a little bit. How do you deal with that over the next month or so? Because it is a very young side, and you've said to me when we spoke about your team that they're young. They will, like every young side, they will have dips, and they will have, there'll be times when they don't perform right. And all right, you're at the top of the league now. How do you plan for the next month, the next 8 games?
Plan for the next game. Yeah. If I'll be honest with you, we don't look. We're looking at Maidstone. You see how we're walking on that game plan tonight. We want to play the way we play. And all I can do is go one game at a time. Because look, last season, like I said this the other day to somebody, you wouldn't think I would have managed 3 clubs last season. That's how football is. It's a crazy, passionate game. And what I would say at this football club, I found it easy to recruit players. People have wanted to come here. I've probably had about 6 players that called me. You know, this time round.
I'd want to come here. It's actually quite easy to get to, isn't it?
Yeah.
10 minutes for me, yeah.
Yeah, so I found that refreshing. And the players last year, the majority of them, didn't have good seasons. And I think I spoke to the group about this the Thursday before the season started. I said, you haven't had a great season, but I believe in you. And I do believe in them players. Mm. 100%. We've got too many good players in there that had bad seasons for whatever reason. Football club's not doing things the right way. Somewhere at Billericay with myself.
Yeah.
Couple Rahemo. And I think what Billericay allowed me and Stuart to do, or Stu and I to do, was broaden their scouting horizon. Because we were looking in a different market for a player. Because, you know, we went there and the owner sort of saying, go get 4 big hitters. He'd say, that's how he'd say it. And I'd be just like, relax, we've got to sign the right player.
Mm.
It's not about, you know what I mean, the big, big hitter. You know, they're only coming here then for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
So they were the kind of things that have helped us become a better management team. And I think you have to have your heart broke. You have to, like, it is depressing. I'll be honest, the word I'd use is depressing. Mm. Oh, it was horrible to be around. You know, but the one thing it did was when we were out of work, we could scout every Saturday, go watch different games, watch new players. Like, we signed a lad called Jacob Mendy. And he's a gem. We ain't going to have him for long. No chance. You know, he's playing at Carra Shorten last year. So we signed some really good players that we know will move on from this football club.
But even with the bitterness that comes with leaving a club and being sacked or feeling your own personal, where you feel you've failed, the two you still got off your backsides and went to the game the next week, didn't you? Because sometimes I'd drift away for a week or two just to feel sorry for myself for one. But
no, there was no holidays. We went straight out, started watching. I think because I felt that they didn't stick to the plan. They wanted a sustainable football club. They wanted a young, hungry team, which we have access to, and they just didn't stick to the plan. It's just it's crazy, really. If I'm being honest, like at the end of the day, it's made us a stronger management team, and we're for us not. I wouldn't say a better football club because the fans themselves at Billericay are good people. You've been there, Carol. Yeah. When we played Chesterfield in the FA Cup over there, you were there. It's a passionate football club.
I know how they helped us out at Chelmsford when we needed a ground share and, you know, couldn't thank them enough, but we're still playing them on Monday and it will be segregated, you know. Yeah. And that's what you worry for. And that's the whole way along, as we'll talk in a moment with Eric Samuelson about Bury. That's the whole thing, isn't it? Fans are great. Yeah. Chairman owners come and go. He's still there, but they do come and go. And it's kind of what state clubs are left in after.
I think a manager wants to work in a sustainable football club.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think that's very important. We don't want to send a football club bust. I've never, ever, ever asked the chairman for more money. Ever. I would not have that in my head. And I still would never do that.
I just
think that's wrong.
It's
don't
right.
Don't well, ask me that one.
Should we get the view from your chairman? Dave Anson and Dean Brennan, we are here at Wealdstone. We should have be out actually having a little look on training, but he's got the blinds down so that I can't spy. The minute I walked in here, they said, no, we're not worried about you spying. Wealdstone are in the same league as my club, Chelmsford City. When I say the same league, at the moment, they're riding high at the top of the league. It's a long old season. Dean?
The way Rod's teams are, they'll catch up.
Yeah, Rod Stringer manager at Chelmsford. It's not all, though, a National South love-in. Let's get on with some more stories here on the Non-League Show. Well, Mr. Anderson, you said there's a question that you don't want asked of a chairman. Dean was just talking about the fact that he's never asked a chairman for more money. Let's bring an old friend, less of the old, onto the Non-League Football Show. Eric Samuelson, former chairman or boss or gaffer of Dave Anderson at Wimbledon, joins us. Hi, Eric.
Hi. Hello, Caroline. Good evening.
So did Dave Anderson ever ask you for more money?
Did he ever not?
Yeah, yeah, but did he, the next question is, did he ever get it?
Are you talking about for him or for players?
A bit of both. Let's swerve that one.
Swerve it.
Those are happier times, Eric. We wanted to get you on to have a little chat with you, a reminisce with you about what you're up to at the moment, but also in the week that we've unfortunately seen Bury go under, how they now rebuild, to give a, you know, a positive note perhaps to their fans. It's been a stinker of a week, hasn't it, for Bury and for football. What have you made of it?
I haven't followed in great detail what people are saying about the owners in terms of what they've done. It's quite clear what they're saying about them as individuals. But I've got a general gist of it. You think your heart goes out for the fans. I think it was in just after we formed in 2002, Bury had an appeal, and I remember a whole pile of Wimbledon fans, me included, paid a lump sum, I forgot what it was, £10, £20, to have our names on seats to help them. And here they are 17 years later in a far worse position. So it's terribly sad for the fans. I don't have any great sympathy for owners because they ought to know what they're doing.
When did you have any sense when you were talking or when you've spoken to people around the EFL that this club should have been sorted out prior to what's happened now? Have the EFL handled it right?
Well, as you know, Caroline, but others may not, I retired from AFC Wimbledon about 4 months ago. Blimey, 4 months ago. And indeed, I've not had a lot of contact with the EFL in the period before that because I stood aside from EFL meetings, so my nominated successor, Joe Palmer, would go to meetings instead. But so I can only give you my sense of where I am. First of all, there is a protocol agreed to the Inland Revenue that they will report non-payment of PAYE to the league, and all clubs sign up to that. And I find it incredibly difficult to believe that Bury were paying the tax on wages they weren't paying to HMRC. That would be bizarre, not impossible, but bizarre. So one has to assume that the league was aware for 2-3 months that Bury weren't paying their taxes. I don't know what follow-up they would have done on that, but they ought to have done some.
The reason I
did pick up a bit of gossip, and this is gossip, that,
go on, then.
What was happening at Bury didn't really become transparent or very obvious to everybody until the time of the annual general meeting in Portugal in June. If so, I'm a bit puzzled as to why, but that's a bit late. And what's, get onto my hobby horse, what's wrong about this, while feeling terribly sorry for Bury, is that they got promoted with players that shouldn't have been playing for them because they couldn't afford them. Mm. And that deprived, I think it was Mansfield, of an automatic promotion spot. So Bury fans have suffered a dreadful effect. Mansfield fans are not being very well dealt with. They've lost out on something they should have had because Bury had players they shouldn't have been playing because they couldn't afford them.
Yeah, very good point.
Yes.
The angle for non-league football and is now what Bury fans do next. There is still a Bury football club. Steve Dale, at the time of speaking, is still involved in Bury football club. So the club hasn't gone completely. There's a knock at the door here. We're at Wealdstone. Do you need to answer that, Gaffer? No, it's all right. He's shaking the head. We're at Wealdstone, by the way, which is why there was a knock at the door, Eric, then, that I nearly answered. But for the fans of Bury now, starting a new club, what advice would you give them if that's a route that they want to go down?
Well, people come to us, and I see that Chris Stewart and Ivor Heller have both been asked to comment on what to do. But it was different for us because I wasn't one of the main players, but we had been protesting and well organised for months, maybe a year, maybe longer, about what we felt was happening to the football club. This is, while not coming out the blue to Bury, I think it's still come as a massive shock, and therefore the fans are not organised in the way that we were. We didn't want to be, but we had to be in order to protest the move to Milton Keynes. So it isn't obvious to me from afar just where the leadership is, where the organisation is, for them to come together and gel and get things done. One of the other things that was actually worked in our benefit, although I didn't feel like it at the time, is the time between the decision that was made about Milton Keynes and us reforming our club as AFC Wimbledon was so short that it was, well, we've either got to do it now or we've lost an entire year. Bury fans can form something now, but they can't really play football until next summer. And I think that's in danger of meaning they're going to be in this dreadfully long hiatus where whatever they do, they're not going to feel they're achieving much. So again, it's difficult for them. What can they do? Well, on the assumption that the club will go into liquidation and on the assumption that the ownership of the stadium will revert to the company that's loaned the money for the mortgage, which I think is what the position is, I think Bury fans have to assume they're going to start again and probably assume that they won't be playing at Gig Lane. Because if I read the paper this morning, there's a £7 million loan against the stadium. We could never have raised that. Bury fans, their attendances are not that wildly different from ours. I doubt that they can, unless some of their alumni decide to throw in a serious chunk of money, which I don't think they can rely on that. So it's going to be tough for them. I mean, it was tough for us, and I don't mean to be downbeat about it,
no.
But I think one has to be realistic.
Dave Anderson.
Yeah, I mean, it is sad. I mean, my big thing is that, you know, at some stage now, Eric, though there's the chance of two people to go down and three people to go up, effectively, which is a whole different argument, isn't it?
I'm sorry, I missed that bit, Dave. There's a chance of what?
Well, if Bury have been taken out of the league, it means that the league are now one team short.
Yep.
And from non-league, we've been saying for many years you should have three up, three down. Yeah?
Yeah, we always voted for that. Even if we got into the league, we always believed that was the right thing to do.
But now, effectively, they could relegate two but bring three up.
Well, what's the plan? To relegate three and bring...
No, it's. I'm just saying there's a chance of letting two go down but bringing three up.
So you're saying rather than reprieve a team in the Football League and stop them going down to the National League, to have three up from the National League rather than have one less team come down, as it were?
Yes.
Well, I'm in favour of standardising all the leagues, and it should be three up, three down. I think the composition of League One is a nightmare every season because you have three coming down for the Championship and four coming up from League Two. So seven out of the 24 clubs in our league, which is, I don't know what percentage that is, nearly 30%, are new clubs every year. What ought to be heading towards is standardising three up, three down from every league, from Premier League down to, National Game League, is that what it's called now? The Conference National, I'm sorry.
Just call it the Conference.
Don't!
Yeah, the Conference National. Yeah, the National League. Then I'm in favour of that. But I think the EFL have already announced what's going to happen, haven't they? So I don't think that's going to change.
Yeah, they're going to have the conversation, but it's whether you are then rewarding a team for not going down, as it were, or rewarding a team by reducing those that go down. When you came up and through the National League, and you'll have seen the likes of Luton go through, we were looking earlier, how many is it, Dean, that we said of...
17, 18 clubs.
17 or 18 clubs that have gone up and through and are now in the Football League. Is it actually better for some clubs, do you think, to come down, sort themselves out, and then go back up and through, Eric?
By come down, you mean into the
National
League. I think it depends on the club. It's extremely unpleasant. I'm not sure everybody liked the idea, but one of the things I was one of the significant movers on was making sure that clubs that come down out of League Two get a full season's Football League money rather than what used to happen. I think it's a season and a half they get now. Because speaking from my recollections of Wimbledon, which my memory's going, but I can't go back 4 months, going down from League One to League Two is not good at all and quite bloody. But going down from, if we were to have two successive relegations, which happened, I think, to Tranmere, that would be a nightmare, especially for a club like ours with no external investment. So I think clubs that go down into the National League and come back again, it's only good for them because there's something, I'm being a bit sweeping here, because there may have been something really quite bad in what was about them when they're in League Two.
Eric, when you
right.
Sorry to interrupt you. When you were chairman at AFC Wimbledon, was always players and staff salary, was that always sustainable? The club never had a sugar daddy or anything like that. And you look at football clubs.
No, one thing I promised my wife when I went full time to the club was I would not blow my pension on them, and that's one promise I did keep. We've never had a sugar daddy, and isn't it funny? It's always daddies, by the way. I'm not aware of any sugar mummies. They're far more sensible there. The way we used to do this, I led on it, was that we would prepare a budget for the coming season and leave the players' wages out. And then we would look at what the figure was without the players' wages there, and that's what they could have. And then we'd look at it and say, blimey, that's not enough. What can we do about it? And we'd squeeze either hell of the commercial director to sell another couple of sponsorships, and we'd cut a bit of cost here and take a small gamble on a bit of success in the cup, but never very much. We used to budget to lose away in every cup competition, so we'd loosen the reins a bit there.
And in my case, I used to carry that out for you.
I'm struggling to remember. Yes, he probably did. Eric, you're only going to win at Wembley for another club. I don't know.
Couldn't do it for him, the one that loved you first.
Absolutely.
Eric, we are going to let you go because we've just got you onto your favourite subject, which is money. So I know we could be here all night with you. So we will hang up. But before we do that, how are you enjoying your time away from football? Have you had any time away from it? And do you want to come back and help a few of our clubs out?
I think the last thing you want, I used to joke, I'm going to sit at the back of the stand with my arms folded, looking as grim as Alex Ferguson, and glowering, and it was better in my time, sort of look at my face. And you can't do that. If you have a successor, you have to stand aside completely. And the message to the club is, if you want me to help, I will, and I'd be delighted, but I'm not coming offering. That's the maximum offer I'm making. And that way, nobody has to keep politely shifting you to one side or that. So I have given a bit of help around some of the preparation with the share issue that's going underway. I continue to chair, as I did before, the charity, the foundation. In my spare time, I look after my son's business from an accounting point of view only. And I am just beginning to turn my mind to writing the expose about what happened in all the time I was there, and this particularly the ramifications of the rule of D. Anderson.
Well, that'll be book number 5 probably by the time we get to it.
Can I just say one thing though about Bury and Bolton?
Yeah.
People talk about what the EFL is doing or not doing. I don't think I know all the members of the board of the EFL, but the ones I do know are good, decent, straightforward, honest people doing their best for the league. Mm. The reason that the rules aren't good enough, the reason that they're not strong enough, is the fault of the 72 clubs. They are the EFL. They don't always send the most senior people to the meetings, and therefore decisions, conversations, discussions take place without them present, the real decision makers of individual clubs. And I've talked many a time to the executive of the EFL who just complained bitterly that they can't engage with the real people who make the decisions. And at the same time, I think the EFL perhaps run a little bit scared of the threat of legal challenge to the changes and rules they want to make, the implementation. But in the end, the rules that failed the fans of Bury and were failing the fans of Bolton and other clubs, that's down to the 72 clubs, and they need to do something about it. And if they don't, then perhaps somebody from outside should introduce a licensing system or something like that.
Eric Samuelson, always talking sense.
Saved the best of last, didn't he? Yeah. That was excellent. Yeah. Excellent, Eric.
Eric, thank you as always for coming on the show.
Thank you, mate.
Take care.
Always a pleasure. Have a good evening.
Cheers, thank you.
Eric Samuelson, former chairman, car park attendant.
CEO.
And
he did
legend,
park the cars.
Still a legend.
Yeah, he is, absolutely. Yeah,
joining
I love
us
him the bits.
On the non-league show. It is awful what's happened to Bury, but he's right. It's in the clubs, in the league, in their remit, to sort it out, and sort it out they have to, because otherwise, again, the rest of the non-league pyramid, not that we mind, come and join us Bury fans, but they've got to now get together to get another club going. They've got to go through the process of Wimbledon. Both of you have worked with clubs where supporters have helped push them forward. Every club should have a supporters trust now. Every club Absolutely. Should be going that way. Yeah. they've got to sort the licensing out, but they've got to get these grounds in covenants. I'm going to get off my high horse in a minute.
Yeah.
Because non-league football is brilliant. We love it, right? But we don't want to see another club have to go through that, another group of fans have to go through that.
Well, I think, if I go first, two things. One is you reap what you sow. So, and no one wants, listen, no one feels more for Bury, and I don't mean it against Bury. I just mean that time after time after time, stuff happens, and everybody goes, well, it wasn't my club, so, they should sort it out, but I'm okay, my club's okay. Whereas realistically, people should be going, what if it's my club next? Why are these people getting away with setting this up the way they are? And I think Eric's right to point it out, wherever it's easy to point the finger at the EFL, but they're only working to the rules that's set by the 72 clubs. So I think absolutely, Kaz. And the other thing is, how come in non-league, and I, I've been critical of the board of every board of every club or league if I feel a need to be, but the one thing you'd have to say about the conference or the national is that they've acted, they've changed. The rules and regulations within non-league are better than they are in the football league. Really, I would say, a layman's look at it. How can that possibly be right?
I think there should be major fines put in place. We're talking about, Eric made a great point about license, getting a license and stuff like that to be part of the league, but should be major fines put in place. If a chairman or CEO can't turn up to a meeting and the main boss or the main bosses can't make them decisions, this is happening to football clubs. It's crazy, but what you get in life, and it's human nature, you get good people and you get bad people. Mm. And I'm afraid that's the way life is, and there's some really bad people out there.
We're going to change tack. We're going to do one show. Go on then.
But before we go, I think your point about having a football trust involved with every board, with a football supporters trust should be allocated X amount of shares of each football club. I think it's the only safeguard that... anyway, I'm finished.
Ready for a one-show gear change? We're going to talk FA VARs next.
Oh, woohoo!
Well, someone not too far away from us, Dean, won the FA VARs at Wembley last season. Dave Anderson, this weekend, your VARs journey gets a little bit further away from
and
you.
And you can't wait, can
you? No, I can't. It's the start of the FA VARs. First round qualifying this weekend. 268 ties. First batch of 667 clubs hoping to emulate Mr. Anderson. And soon we're all forgotten, Dave.
I know.
Let's bring into the non-league football show someone who's hoping his team can go all the way and do what's commonly known now as an Anderson. Andrew Saunders is chairman at AFC Mansfield. Hi, Andrew.
Hi there, Carolyn. Are you all right?
Yeah, very well, thank you. So I've got Dave on to essentially show you what's possible. You don't want to go any route down where he's been, by the way. For you, this is a big year, isn't it? The FA VARs, a breakaway club, AFC Mansfield. Remember when you were formed to take your club on this journey in the VARs with the possibility of Wembley at the end of it. How you feeling?
Well, really, sort of looking forward to it. We've had sort of two good sort of runs in the FA VARs over the years. I think season 14-15, we got to the last 16, got beat by Tadcaster in 16-17. Got through the last 32 and beaten by Sunderland RCA. And it's just a fantastic opportunity for non-league football clubs to sort of showcase themselves, sort of, one, in the competition, and secondly, if you can get to Dreamland, the semi-final and the final, well, that's amazing.
You're in the FA Cup too, aren't you? So it's in replay?
Yeah, we're in the FA Cup. We actually won the first game against Sleaford, and then we had a very... tough game last Saturday, 0-0 against Hena Town. So we've got to play Hena back at our place next Tuesday, yeah.
We've talked already in this show, we were just talking to Eric Samuelson, former chairman at AFC Wimbledon, about starting afresh, starting a club anew, of course, with what's happened with Bury this week. I wonder whether you've got any thoughts for the Bury fans that are considering doing what you did. I know very different circumstances when you broke away from Mansfield, three of you as directors. What would you say to them as they're standing looking at what looks very daunting at the moment?
I think they've got to look forwards. Don't look backwards. They've got to look sort of forwards to basically reforming the club, whether it's a fan, a, a, fan base sort of new club, or whether it's a new person, new people going as directors of a club. We've got to look forward, because at the end of the day, you know, Bury's been going for 134 years. I remember going to Bury numerous times, watching the stag down there, and it's just it's an almighty shame, you know. And I think, you know, basically, you know, the authorities need to look at sort of these situations. We can't just allow these situations to happen again in football at all.
Has it made you change your opinion on how you use things like money from a cup run and how you invest that to make sure that the club you're involved in now is sustainable?
I think at the end of the day, you actually need to make sure the club's as sustainable as you possibly can. There's far too many people who sort of seem to look at football clubs, particularly in the Football League, that they can make sort of loads and loads of money at it. And unfortunately, in the lower levels, it doesn't happen, you know. And as I say, particularly with Bury and the chairman there, it seems as though it's gone totally and utterly wrong.
So you have the delightfully named Graham St. Prims in the Vars. What's your big expectation then for this season? How far do you think you can go? Or how far have you told the manager to get?
I want to go to the final, of course. You know, that's dreamland, you know. And all being well, you know, we've got a game against Graham St. Prims on Saturday. Hopefully, you know, we'll get through that. And then if we get through that, the next round's already been drawn, and we could have a local derby against Weymouth Miners Welfare, which is literally 2 miles up the road from us, if they win it, Saffron Dynamo, which will be interesting, because when we formed the club in 2012, our very first game, which was a friendly, was against Weymouth Miners Welfare. So that will be quite sort of interesting if that comes about.
And just finally, Andrew, before we let you go, it's obviously a busy week. What with the cup, two cups, the league as well, and everything going on. How is everything at the club? Because I know you took demotion, didn't you, due to ground grading last season. It was a bit of a tough season last season. All things looking brighter this season?
Yeah, that was down to sort of personal circumstances, my personal circumstances, which, you know, I won't go into. No. But at the end of the day, you know, we will make sure that this season, if we as a football club are in a position to sort of get promoted back into step four, we'll do so. And obviously, it's a big year for all sort of, like, particularly step five and step six teams, with, you know, as many as three teams going up from step five to step four, and in some leagues, you know, four teams going up from step four to step six. You know, with all the alterations that's going to happen to the non-league system next season, it's a big year for all non-league teams. Full stop.
Well, look, good luck in both cups.
Yeah, good job, Barry Pearce.
When you start off at this stage in August, it'll be September this weekend, just in case you didn't know what day of the week it was. when you start off, you were told by your chairman, and it was your aim to go out and win the Vars. You went and did it. How far away does it look, though, when you stood there right now? What words of encouragement?
First of all, it was his aim, and I called him nuts. I said,
no, but you wanted it.
Of course, I think we all want it, but I think you have to have a reality check. But I see Andrew's going, let's go all the way. Well, to be fair, Andrew, that's what my chairman said, and we did.
Yeah, so there you go.
Good luck.
Yeah, continue to dream. Andrew, thanks for coming on, and all the best of luck.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Off he goes to win the Vars. But we laugh. You've got to have healthy ambitions, right? And we sat there and believed that you would get to Wembley. I even booked the weekend off, and then other things transpired that I couldn't get there. But we did think you'd get there. We did think you'd get there, because we knew it was your final hurrah.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, it's lovely. I'll tell you a funny thing happened to me.
Is it funny?
Well, ironic thing. I don't know. Call it whatever you want. I'm going to tell it anyway. Right. You call it whatever you want. I came here Saturday. And I came in to get at Wealdstone, and the game had just kicked off, and I won't say who it was, but I met someone who I've known, who's a Wealdstone, who I'll tell you later, and he shook my hand. He says, yeah, good to see you, and I went, yeah, okay, lovely, and he's come and says, half time for a beer. I went, yeah, it'd be great. And I walked by, and I just heard him out of the corner of my ear. He said, oh yeah, he won the Vase with Chertsey, you know, obviously telling the guy he was with. And it's the first time that I've ever heard anyone over here as a manager that didn't go, yeah, I used to manage Wimbledon. It's funny, isn't it? You know,
what would you rather be introduced as?
Oh, whatever you want.
I kind of want to say to you, Dean, I hope you're never in Dave's situation. Because, and I don't mean that. I hope you get to win at Wembley.
Yeah.
But I hope either it's the trophy or the FA Cup, right? Because the VARs, clearly there's a level that your football club have to be at to go and achieve it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want it any other way than what happened, right? But you want to, with your managerial career, I assume now, go up from the National South, right? But would that, what a moment that would be.
Yeah, everyone wants to go to Wembley, don't they? You know, everyone wants to get there somehow. When we won the trophy at Greyers as a player, Wembley was getting redeveloped. We had to play at Villa Park, so that was probably my only chance of getting there. But as a management team, as a manager, at some stage, hopefully I can get there.
Can we just laugh at the fact that Dave just threw down, we're at Wealdstone, we're in your manager's office. You have told countless people not to interrupt, not to knock on the door. You've told them, go away, go away, go away. Dave gets one phone call, he throws down his headset and he legs it out the room.
That's his wife, that's why he's on the time.
As it should be, as it should be. You are listening to the Non-League Football Show. We will, up next, head off to the Non-League Paper and get a roundup of everything else that's been happening. Okay, so the good news is that Dave Anderson is back from his phone call. And yes, whilst you're out the room, you've got Big Bogey as well, just there. Other one. There you go. Everything goes on the Non-League Show. Come back, Tim. All's forgiven. That's what you're about to say. She's calling me out for having Big Bogey. She's calling me out for being on the phone. As you walked out, I said to Dean,
yes,
as we sit here in Dean's office,
yes,
Dean has locked the door.
Drinking Dean's beer.
He's not allowed anyone in. He's not taking any calls. You know, he could have had Neymar coming in, asking to play,
and
he custard-pied him the whole way through. But you, one phone call, and he's straight off. Anyway, I'm not going to keep our next guest waiting too long because I'm not rude like you, even with the bogey hanging down your nose. David Richardson from the Non-League Paper joins us. Hi, David.
Hi, Caroline. Hi, guys.
You weren't expecting any of that, were you?
No, it was not always usual.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, he hasn't got warts yet. I can't tell you what he just did. Dean possibly could. No. Yeah, all fun and games. Hey, so Dean Brennan's in with us, David. Who did he make your manager of the week this week in the Non-League Paper? Or did some of your players make it, Dean?
I think some of my players made
some
it.
Yeah.
We didn't get any clean sheets. That's probably why I didn't get it.
He's got to be down for manager of the month, though, isn't he, David?
Yeah, I should think so. I think, what, 18 points, is it, from this month so far? Yeah, another win on Saturday. I think that should wrap it up. Great start for Dean there.
Yeah, makes me sick. Anyway, enough of that. Hey, talking of managers, we're recording this on a Thursday night, hence why the beers are already out. Thursday night is student night for these two.
Yeah.
And we have, in the last hour, haven't we, had some news about Hereford and their new manager.
Yeah, that's right. Russell Slade's gone in there, of course. Former Leyton Orient, Cardiff City manager. Most recently, Grimsby Town. Appointment there for Hereford, of course. They got rid of Mark Richards after only three games. And have since been looking for a new man. I understand Peter Beadle had put his CV in. He, of course, was replaced by Mark Richards following three titles in the first 3 years with the club there. But they've brought in Russell Slade, who's obviously a very experienced manager, has been doing it for about over 20 years now, 25 years. So it'll be interesting to see how that one works out. Could be a very good move to try and take them up to the next level.
Dean, Dave, your collective eyebrow raised at that.
Yeah, look, there's lots of good young managers out there. You know, why is Russell Slade having to come all the way down to the Conference North? Do you know what I mean? To get a job, I suppose. Yeah. Maybe because, look, he's managed League One, League Two, hasn't he? He has had promotions. Maybe because the foreign managers are coming in and everything's filtering down from the Championship, the Premier League, all the way down. But I'd like to see young managers get given an opportunity personally. But I wish him well.
Yeah, it's a big club, though.
It's a big club, big name.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big name to go with a big club, but if my big thing is, and he probably knows this, that if he's dropping down to the level he is, he needs to get it right. If he's any aspirations to go back into be a league manager, this one has to be right, you know. But
particularly as, David, that the Hereford fans are vocal, aren't they? You know, big club, they demand and expect.
Yeah, but he's big enough and been around the block enough to know that. But I just feel that it is something that he as I say, has to get right. And I always question the whys. Not so much why the club go after a manager, but why does he want it? You know, is he desperate to get back in? You know, but you can't knock his CV. He's been in big clubs and been a successful manager.
Why is the club are they sacking a manager after three games after a week of football?
It's yeah, crazy, difficult. So big expectation, David, for him now walking. I was just saying, it's big expectation. The fans expect there at Hereford too.
Yeah, well, it was an interesting point Dave made about obviously going down to that level, and he's got to get it right. I think you look at Lee Clark at Blythe Spartans, who've had a very bad start, really, yeah, to life in the north. Obviously, Lee Clark coming down from a higher level, you know, at one stage was very much sort of a hot property in the Football League. And now, you know, you look at Blythe down there, and I know that there's perhaps other things going on at the club with, you know, a smaller budget and, you know, losing players after Alan Armstrong left in the summer. But, you know, I think Dave's right in that, you know, Russell Slate maybe, you know, he's come down to this level because he simply can't get in anywhere else. Mm. And, you know, I don't think Hereford, you know, like you said, their fans sort of will expect after three titles to try and push on again. You know, clearly the ambition of the board, getting rid of Peter Beadle and then Mark Richards so soon into this season, you know, expect success. And they'll be hoping Russell Slade can go in there and be that man to take it on. You know, I agree with Dean as well, really, in that, you know, you wonder, could they have gone for a younger manager, perhaps? Someone who's... someone who's maybe a little bit more sort of tried and tested in non-league, but still has that sort of young, sort of burning enthusiasm to try and move up the pyramid. It'd be interesting to see who the other applicants were.
I tell you one
thing. It's recruitment levels, Dave. That's the problem. When Lee Clark and people have come down to this level, then they've got to go part-time. And we're training tonight. It's 9 o'clock at night. We've just finished training.
Yeah.
You know, are they full-time, I heard of? Or does he get contact time with the players? These are the big questions.
I think they are full time actually there, but no, you are right though that, you know, it's a completely different level, National North to League Two or even non-league really, in the players that you're recruiting. That, you know, a lot of these players, you know, will they be prepared to go full time signing for Hereford in that division? Like, yeah, I don't know. It's another interesting point.
Gary Johnson has proved it can be done, can't he? You know,
yeah.
Gary's
going
to Torquay and he's got a spot on. I know we got help from his son, a few loan players from Bristol City that were outstanding for the level, nowhere near this level. They were like literally league.
Yeah, I watched them Saturday, funny enough, against Barnet, 2-0 up at half time and 180 degrees it was, which I think all non-league suffered with. But the point I'd make as a manager, as an experienced manager as Russell is, I wouldn't be getting in there unless my contract was set in stone because of their record in the last sort of year or so.
Yeah. Well, and that takes us full circle to what we were talking about right at the start of the show, which, David, you'll be able to listen to when you download it and give us a rating and subscribe. David, we've talked to you far too long already, but give us a sense of what else you think is going to be in the paper this weekend.
So, obviously, Bury's been quite a big story this week in the Football League, being expelled from League One. And we've been looking at sort of perhaps the knock-on effect that could have in non-league. I was speaking to Andy Walsh, who does some great work at the Football Supporters Association this week. And funnily enough, he on Monday, the organisation is meeting with the Alliance Committee, which involves the National League, Northern Premier League, Southern League and Isthmian League, to basically put forward their proposals as to how football and football regulation and ownership can be improved, really, to avoid situations like we've just seen with Bury and also Bolton, who thankfully have had some good news. But, you know, there's so many other examples. You know, you look in the Football League, Macclesfield, Morecambe, Oldham, and then sort of closest home in non-league, we've seen Leyton Orient take over under new ownership, which has been great for them. Notts County had issues this summer. Unfortunately, North Ferriby last season weren't quite so lucky and folded. And, you know, and there's other examples further down the pyramid, like Basingstoke, their ground you know, their owners trying to sell the ground from underneath the club, basically, and they're having to play elsewhere. So it's sort of a very relevant discussion, and you know, I think that's quite an interesting talking point, really, at the moment, and what can be done for non-league clubs, really, because in a way they're almost even more vulnerable than football league clubs because of the sort of more stringent finances across the game. But elsewhere, we've got sort of all the usual match action. We'll be following Dean's Wealdstone quite closely to see if they can keep up their good form. We've got some FA Cup previews in there as well, and all the usual results tables, etc.
All right, good luck. Enjoy it. Yeah, I say good luck because it's 42 hours in 24 hours you've got to try and fit in. Dave, thanks for coming on as always.
Cheers, Dave.
Cheers, Dave. God bless, mate.
Brilliant. Thanks so much, Colin. Cheers.
Take care. David Richardson at the non-league paper. Go on.
Sorry, he just ruled off 10 names like that.
Yeah.
People in trouble.
Yeah.
Like just boom.
Oh, no. Frightening.
You know, just, you know, and we joke about everything, and you know me, I'm cynical with dressing room humour, but that's shocking, isn't it? That you can just go boom.
Is it all down to player salaries? Majority of it.
Do you think so?
We started the show talking about 2.5 million to get you out the blooming National South. It's ridiculous amounts. Yeah. When I walked into Chelmsford, I can't remember how many years ago, we had three players on £1,500 a week, 52 weeks a year. The contracts contracted, which is one of the reasons we came in to, you know, try and sort all of that out.
Yeah, yeah.
That is not sustainable. Eric told you about what was the budget of Wimbledon to get out of the then Conference South. I think it was 14, 15 grand, wasn't it, or something?
Yeah.
You know, how can you compete? You're not going to tell me how much yours is here, but it's nowhere near that, is it?
Nowhere near that. It's sustainable. And this is run by the supporters, this football club. It's run with real good heart and soul. And you'd rather that. You know what I mean? Why would you want to do that? And
yeah. You want to know what you've got to work with.
I think the big thing is, of course, nobody can sustain it. And what tends to happen is it's then up to one guy who's funding it. And if he chucks his toys out of the pram, we're all in trouble. You know, so that's massive. But with a manager going into a football club, you've got to go, what's the budget? What do you want for it? Mm. You know, so if you want the Ritz, you've got to pay the Ritz money if you want.
Here's what would be a great question. How many clubs have had loads of money and not got the success? I bet it's a lot.
Well, Luton struggled for a while to get out of the league, but got out eventually. I mean, it was almost panicking in the end. Look at Billericay, what's happened. Yeah. The problem is so many big clubs in... Look at
guarantees you nothing. It guarantees you nothing, doesn't it?
We say this is the hardest level to get out of, as opposed to the Championship into the Premier League.
Have you watched the Class of 92?
Yeah, yeah.
I watched it the other day, and I thought I was fascinated at how aggressive Gary Neville was in his boardroom and in his box, and how he was frustrated so much. We should be doing this, we should be doing that. You know, crazy, really. I found it really fascinating show. It's a great insight, you know, into a chairman putting a lot of pressure on his manager, screaming and shouting. I'll tell you, Mr. Linden put that pressure on him when he was at Valencia, having a bad time as a manager.
But it's the old cliche, but every game against them is a cup game for the other team as well. Of course you want to beat them.
Yeah, but we've all done that. At Wimbledon, it was the same thing.
How did you get over that?
Well, I think you try and turn it into a positive. You try and shut the door, the dressing room door, and go, guys, if, you know, When we've all been at clubs that aren't as big as this, what's the first thing you do? Programmed, you go, when do we play the big team?
Yeah.
You are the big team.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to sustain. It's very hard to play a cup final every week. You know, it's amazing how quickly, I mean, I don't want to go back into Wimbledon stuff, but just as a story, we were playing in front of 300. You go to Wimbledon, there's 3,500, 4,000.
Yeah.
It's amazing how quick people get used to it.
Yeah, but there's no social media. We beat you, we've done this, we've done that. There's a lot of that in there. There's a lot of gloating and going on.
I agree with you.
On that note, I've got to take a photo of both of you, which we'll do, and I'll put up on the non-league show.
With a beer or without a beer?
With and without the beer. They are always a pleasure. Dean Brennan, Dave Anderson. I don't know why I went Dean Brennan there. Rick Nick New. And hopefully Tim will be back to fiddle with all the knobs. Because although I think we've done very well.
Well, I think you've never seen him fiddle with knobs.
We've done very well.
There's no Wi-Fi. We have absolutely nothing.
No, but we're on location.
Yes.
And we got through it.
And it's been good fun.
I mean, I kind of don't want to say good luck in the league because I know what that will mean. I don't want to finish behind you in the league with Chelmsford, but if we finish ahead of you in the league, I think we'll have won it. So that's a compliment I'm paying you.
When do you play them here? Do you know?
I don't know. I haven't got a clue.
Should we recreate this moment?
We've got to. You've got to come over.
Yeah. Of course, I know it's
the
tattooed.
One thing I'd say, Rod always has strong finishes to the season. Yeah. Your manager, and he's a good manager. He's proven at this level.
And there is nothing else you need in life than a strong finish. Dean Brennan, Dave Anderson, thank you.
Caroline Barker, thank you very much.
You can follow us at Non-League Show. Do, if you can, subscribe to the show via Audio Boom, iTunes, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, your smart speakers, all good podcast aggregation sites. Just shout, Alexa, Non-League Show, apparently. Thank you and goodbye.
Do you know what happened last week?
What?
Alexa came on, and it came on to Caroline's voice early on.
Oh, the Siri. Siri came on.
Siri came on, and then it came on to my voice and went, I don't understand.
And with that, we leave you.
Oh, we still... sorry, I thought we were finished. I need that.